Greetings and welcome to TIU Radio, theinfounderground.com. Today's date is Friday, 21st of August in the year 2009. I'm your host, Ogner, and we're going to get straight in with our usual buddy there, Daryl from I Am The Witness. Daryl, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Noel. It's great to be back on TIU, and I'm looking forward to today's discussion, in fact.
Well, actually, Daryl,
a lot happening, my friend.
Well, yeah, a lot happening. Let's get down. I was interviewed on Swedish alternative radio yesterday, and I was asked a question. I gave an answer, and it is a lot of people are curious to what is and what isn't pure play. Now, you've been the one that's been coining this expression recently, specifically towards research into Zionism. Can you give us a clear cut definition of what you mean by pure play?
Well, there are some things that we know now. We know, first of all, we know that the government story on 9/11 is a lie, so that means that we had to find out who did it, and we had to suss out who the persons or people or groups or governments or whatever were involved. Well, that took a number of years, and it took a lot of back and forth, and we've settled on the facts as they've been presented, and that is that the British intelligence, parts of the American government through their intelligence services and the Mossad, had to all be involved, and the names and people around it have become known to us. And we can go down the list, but I don't think it's necessary. The posts are on the website. They're on TIU. They're everywhere on the net. So we know. That is a fact. And to start varying from that is a nonsense. To start varying from the fact that Zionism and Zionists are propelling this conspiracy forward, are not doing it, is a lie. And so anybody who says that the Black Pope or the New World Order and it's the German death cult and it's the the Tool Society, he's got a million names for them, when in fact basically what it is a group of very well-connected Jewish oligarchs in the world are using their power and influence to orchestrate implosions and death and wars and crimes. We know these things. These are known things. If you want to take those facts and continue to expand on them and go further into the crimes, fine. That's you're working in a pure play direction. If you, on the other hand, start wanting to pull people away from the facts and pull people away from it, like Bullhorn Leghorn over there saying that the Arabs run Hollywood, or that he won't say that Israel had a hand in 9/11, or this guy is a liar and he is absolutely the antithesis of what pure play means. There are other good examples, and there are other things that I think we could bring up here. One of them was something I listened to the other day, and I was absolutely livid after I listened. Trying to race bait and bring up racial nonsense, lies, and it's being done on Rents. Rents Today had a thing on there saying that the Muslims are taking over the country and that their religion is going to usurp and override the American religion, and it was put up from this horse crap website called The American Thinker. I call it The American Stinker. But again, the same kind of action was taken by on Alex Jones' show by Tex Mars, in my view, when he started pumping this voodoo stuff. And this is not pure play stuff. What they're doing there is trying to distract, trying to make another group look like they have involvement in this nonsense. It's a lie. It was meant to, and designed to drag people away from the fact that Zionist Jews are involved at the top, middle, and on the ground in this entire conspiracy. So anybody who pulls people away from the facts is not a pure play. And I can say, honestly, that people who promote them are also guilty of that very same thing, because, look, you cannot be promoting the truth and then supporting a liar, as like Rivero has been doing. I mean, this guy is an out-and-out supporter of criminality. He supports things we know are not true, such as 757s hitting the Pentagon. Anybody with a pair of eyes and a brain, one brain cell, you could be an amoeba and figure out that was a nonsense that a 757 hit that building, and then try to ramrod different things down our throat that aren't necessarily true. So my point is that we have certain things that we can go down a list and say we know, and anybody that pulls you away from that is absolutely doing the wrong thing, and they're not a pure play. The French Connection is. We push you toward the further investigating those facts.
Yeah, well, I think that's fairly clear. I was reading on Rivero's site that he actually linked to you, Daryl, for the first time, I think, in since I've ever seen. He actually linked to it. He even put up comments saying he didn't like linking to you, but your information was that good.
Well, yeah, and again, there's 40 books on the website as well, and important documents that are all spot on as well. When is he going to realize that all the stuff on the website has quality in it and has excellent research? What is he going to say? Douglas Reed isn't worth linking to, or how about not linking to Nesta Webster or Archibald Moll Ramsey or Arnold Leese or how about the Jack Bernstein and all the rest? And you know, many many websites have taken my lead and taken the books off of my website and put it on their own, and I encourage that. You know, long before Rents had Ben Friedman on his site, we had it. Long before people like ProThink started putting up a documentation from French Connection sources, we had all this stuff. So it doesn't really matter who came first, the chicken or the egg. If you want to promote the right stuff, fine. But the fact of the matter is that the website is absolutely packed full of facts and good books and good research material. And for him to make it sound like, oh, this is one thing that I would put up, the whole site's full of stuff like that, the moron. Let him take a look at the reality and start digging through the real truth, and maybe he'll put up a book by some of these great authors, by Makita Nishishnerev, Waters Flowing Eastward, or the Red Dragon, or some of these other incredible books. Well, the guy tried to... That was an offhanded slander at me by writing that. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's another book there, Daryl, that you've had up for Archibald Mulramsey, The Nameless War. And there's a very interesting article, part two of an article written by this gentleman from the forums War on You, Brendan Dean. And he's joined up in our forums, theinfounderground.com. He's posted his part two. The first part was a review of Jones' shilling for Zionism, with tough comments for Rivero and Rents for sitting on the fence and letting Jones get away with it. But this guy's come out with part two. You can find it on our forums, or he has a site called wizardofoswald.com, and you'll find it there as well. And it's a very interesting piece, Daryl, about Ramsey, who was he describes him as the father, one of the fathers of the anti-Zionist movement in the 1930s. And it's another very well done article. One or two things I slightly changed, but I mean overall, very very well written article. It's the A to Z of the history of Zionism. But particularly that part about Ramsey, that when the World War II started up, he was arrested under what was the plan. Regulation 18B, which gave the British government the right to detain anyone they felt threatened the political stability during war times. And the guy was in prison until 1944. Now, this guy was very active in the 30s, trying to make the British aware of Zionism and the power of the international Jewish bankers. I don't think what he didn't know was that they knew about them because, Churchill, his mother was Jewish. It hadn't changed since the beginning of the century.
Well, but interesting that even early on in Churchill's career, he had some very, very negative things to say about the control of Zionism over his government. And then some years later, you see him ponying up to the criminals. But here's the thing about Leese. You know, the man was very well-educated stock, Sandhurst. Eton School, which is where all of the royals go to school. This guy was extremely well educated, and he was a top person within intellectual circles. And there was absolutely no way the things he was saying were not spot on. As was the work from Nesta Webster, or was the work from Elizabeth Dillings, for that matter. But the truth is, there are a lot of authors out there during the last century. In the run-up to both the First and Second World War, that were describing the conspiracy around them. Many of them were either marginalized or arrested, such as Ezra Pound, who was arrested and placed in a mental institution for speaking these facts. And then you've got this guy, Leghorn, over there. Of course, he's making lies up about who killed Kennedy and saying that there's deathbed confessions and all. He makes up this, it's such an elaborate hoax that he put together, not any different than the hoax he put together on Johnson ordering the USS Liberty attack. This guy has had one deception after another, but the one with Kennedy was very clear. He was saying that there were internal machinations within the American government that propelled these people to kill Kennedy. Simple fact was, and this is what makes the most sense, and is that just before he was murdered, he had sent a letter, a correspondence personally from himself to Ben-Gurion in Israel, demanding an accounting of their nuclear program, which he caught wind was quite advanced, and they were on their way to making nuclear weapons. And Kennedy, in no uncertain terms, said, you will cease and desist and respond to this letter and provide me with the information as to what you're actually doing with this nuclear program. Well, instead of answering Kennedy's correspondence, Ben-Gurion stepped down as prime minister and leader of Israel. And as he stepped down, he knew that he would not have to respond as one state's leader against it to another because he was no longer in charge of the government. By the time the new leader was in place in Israel, Kennedy was shot dead. And everyone with any brain and any amount of research will bring this all back to a Zionist Jewish conspiracy, because even Galloway there in New Orleans had all kinds of Jewish people around this, including Jack Ruby, who ended up shooting Oswald to keep the facts from ever coming out. It was a Zionist Jewish conspiracy from beginning to end. But that's not what Jones says. Jones says, oh, this guy in his deathbed said he was involved. Give me a break. And then the one with the USS Liberty saying that it was all Johnson said send that boat to the bottom and all this. Right. A bunch of bollocks, a bunch of lies. And you know what? People like him have to be eliminated from this movement. They have to be run out on the rails and chased out of town if necessary with a hot bar of tar, a vessel of tar and feathers and pitchforks, whatever it takes, because he's as dangerous as a rabid vampire, this man. And he's a liar, and he's sucking off the goodwill and good interest of Americans and Europeans and world people worldwide. Now, the simple fact of the matter is we have outed him as being in league with Brofman lawyers. We know that the guy has over 20 shell companies he's involved in. He's got a $1 million house sitting out in the suburbs. He's got connections out the wazoo to the Jewish crime gangs in Hollywood. Yep. He's, all of his advertisers are from a Jewish background. His wife is Jewish, which gives his children a right of return to Israel. And this guy absolutely cuts anybody off that says anything about Israel. And if you bring it up about Israel, he says you're actually working for the FBI, this lunatic.
Interesting, his lawyer is specialized in dual citizen and requirements for dual citizens. Interesting.
Yeah.
Also, interesting to note, Daryl, yesterday that, you know, there's still a lot of people that listen to Bullhorn, and someone called in on air and asked about I Am the Witness, and he was completely cut off, and Jones got rid of him instantly. But what was quite obvious was on the released audios, which were released after the show, that segment was cut off, although we do have copies of it because people record the show live. He go all the way to remove the mention of I Am the Witness, so no one would ever find out anything about Zionism from an audio that he stored or saved after the fact. I thought that was quite strange and telling.
Well, the day before, after the race baiting incident with Tex Mars, the Shoutcast feed on the fourth hour was cut out. Yeah. Now it was saved by people, and I think some people said it was replaced back into the archives. I'm not sure. Doesn't really matter. I know that Shoutcast's fourth hour was immediately eliminated right after I came out and said that was race-baiting nonsense, this voodoo Santeria crap. And it was all designed to badmouth and injure the relationship between whites and blacks, no doubt about it. And I got to tell you something else. Tex Mars was on my show on CII not long ago, maybe 5 months ago. And I got to be honest with you, I was getting the willies while he was talking because he was race-baiting Arabs. And anybody who wants to go back and listen to his last interview on CII and tell me that this guy is not a race baiter. And then you take a look at the top of Rensa site now with this nonsense coming out of the American stinker, I mean the American thinker. It's absolute race baiting. They're trying to get people well up in hatred toward other groups, but no mention made of Jews or Zionism or criminality of Zionism. We're not talking about these organ-selling rabbis anymore or you know, these pedophile Jews that are running around committing crimes left, right, and center, or the criminal Jewish bankers that are robbing us blind, or these SOBs running Scripps Institute and Baxter International that happen to be Zionist-controlled organizations that are going to put these vaccines in us. I mean, or the fact that Monsanto, a Jewish-run business owned and operated by Zionist Jews, is going to add 40% to their biogenetically modified seeds to force people into bankruptcy. I mean, nothing said about any of that stuff, but plenty of said about voodoo. I mean, I wanted to reach through the bloody speakers and slap these people around. What's the matter with these people?
Well, you know, you mentioned one thing there that has nearly died down, is this harvesting of body parts, being a completely Jewish-run worldwide industry. Several rabbis arrested in New Jersey, New York, and it's flared up again. The story is nearly dead, and you're right, Darren, no one's talking about it. We've talked about it. It flared up yesterday in the biggest Swedish newspaper, Aftonbladet. One of their writers, of course he's an anti-Semite, of course, shows some photos of autopsies done on Palestinians, where the Palestinians are alleging that the IDF soldiers shot them to harvest organs, and they have some proof. And this is posted in Sweden's biggest daily. And this is causing a storm, Darrell. The Swedish ambassador in Israel said, "Oh, that's terrible! That's terrible! It's borderline anti-Semitic."
What's terrible? The fact that they're harvesting the organs, or the fact that they got caught?
The fact that they got caught and was reported on. How dare they report on it? They thought they buried this story.
I see now. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Darrell,
it's like in America, right? All the Jews and the Jewish press are all outraged that one of their own told on them. That you know, the guy that looks like he's from an inbreed, the guy with the gooby head and glasses, the one that turned state's evidence.
Yeah, the son.
Okay, now this guy told on him, and everybody's outraged that he told, not the fact that these people were caught selling body parts of people. Yeah, you know, and David Pidcock, in an interview I did recently, said he had information that he had read, very credible, that these people are involved in all kinds of sick stuff. And who else alluded to this was the, what's his name there, that crazy guy, they shot him dead, the journalist, Gonzo journalist there, Hunter Thompson.
Yeah, Hunter
Thompson. They were harvesting adrenochrome from children out of their adrenal glands to try and help them stay younger. And this has also been found out about. I mean, these people are friggin' monsters, dude. The willingness they have to rape, pillage, plunder, and murder as psychopaths is boundless. And, I mean, we've got history to prove this. This is another pure play subject. We don't have to go very far to find out these people killed 90 million people last century. Worldwide. At their urgings or their actual participation. And, you know, look, it's not that difficult to figure out once you know the facts, Noel. And you know what? We know the facts. A lot more people are knowing them. And these SOBs that are trying to throw these roadblocks in our way. Now, I got a thing for you to bring up right now. I wrote a letter, didn't I, to Rent. I told you that that I sent him a correspondence saying, if you will agree to stop putting up this nonsense about Bigfoot and Moon Cities, I will agree to stop attacking you if you can start doing pure play work and exposing these criminals for who they are and get rid of the nonsense you've been throwing up there and some of the liars you've been spreading the news from, like Henry Nyman, who had a guy named Rabbi Moneymaker on his staff from Israel. And this guy's promoting the use of vaccines. I said, you know, you start cleaning up your act, I would be more than happy to work with you. He never even responded. Why didn't he respond? I didn't expect a response because I knew the guy was a sack of crap to start with. But, of course, right away, you know, the crop circle nonsense reemerges. The number of UFO sightings doubles up. Then he starts the race baiting crap. And right after Mars was on Jones, the same night he's on Rent, selling the same nonsense. But, you know, everybody says, oh, you got to excuse Mars. He does talk about Zionism. The guy's a sack of crap. By going on Alex Jones' show, he's given credibility to Jones in the first instance. And in the second instance, he race-baited the whole show. He's trying to denigrate black people and get people to say, oh, they're a bunch of voodoo people. Oh, my God. Oh, they're Santeria people. And he had the nerve to say that it was sweeping the black community. That's nonsense. Blacks are much more church-going than whites are in America, and they're more interested in going to Christian and Catholic, and not Catholic, Christian, Protestant and Baptist churches than they are to any of that other nonsense. And the simple fact is voodoo is a French origin, French black Caribbean. That's from Haiti. The Santeria is from Spanish. They're not the same thing. They were mixing and matching. They were saying Wiccan and this and that. It was a bunch of nonsense. And I was listening through that stuff, and I said, this makes me sick to my stomach. And this guy, Mars, is just a crap spreader. And the simple truth is it's all about the money for that SOB. He's got Alex Jones selling his books over there. I'll never buy or do anything for that guy again because he's a sellout. And you know what? You anybody out there wants to support that guy, do it at your own peril. But don't be coming to me with his nonsense because I don't want to hear it. He's no bloody good, Noel. I can smell a rat when I smell one. He's no bloody good.
Well, I'll agree with anyone that supports Jones. I mean, these guys have to know. I mean, okay, Rents isn't linking to him anymore, obviously, because of their threatened to be Jones. He threatens everyone to actually sue them. It seems to be his thing, and he seems to have an army of money behind him and an army of Jewish lawyers behind him as well. But, you know, you go on. I'm glad to see Salbucci hasn't gone back on in recent times. He was on a couple of months ago. He hasn't been on since. I mean, you have to look at, you know, Rentz's side. If someone even like Salbucci, Daryl, goes on, I mean, he must be worried about this UFO and Sasquatch and you know, all this other nonsense as well.
Well, you know what? Again, I talked to Adrian about Jones, and he said, well, you know, after I got off of Jones' show, you called me, Daryl, and you told me that not to expect another invite, even after being told I would. And he said, you were exactly right. You were 100% right. I didn't get another invite, and he said, I don't expect one now. And not because I worked with you or anybody else, but the simple fact was, I talked the truth about Zionism and world Zionism. And he, you know, he did get re-invited onto Rentz's site. But you see, anybody from the mainstream starting to look through this stuff, goes onto Rentz's site, immediately you're going to think anybody that follows this stuff is a whack job. Why? Because he peppers in this UFO, peppers in this nonsense and pictures all over the place of goopy stuff and crop circles and Sasquatch pictures and dark side of the moon things and vacations to Mars. The guy is a sack of crap. Absolutely. And you know what? I you know what? These people are treasonous. If any of them were in front of me, I'd be hard pressed not to slap them around.
Well, let's talk a bit about money, Daryl. I'll quote you something you said about 4 or 5 years ago, and AJ had a slightly different amount. You said there was $1 billion being put into fake media and, you know, disinformation into for the Shill Network. Jones at the time said it was 1.7 or 8 billion. Now, we have the case of this blogger, this piece of scum, Hal Turner. That is, has, you know, was arrested for calling for the murder of three judges, posting their photos, their addresses, Google Maps, telephone numbers, and the guy gets to court, and the guy said, hold on, he gets a new lawyer, a Jewish guy, and he said, hold on, this guy is working for, he's been an FBI informant since 2002, he's received tens of thousands of dollars for his work, which was basically to get people fighting and say outrageous stuff. And his lawyer made the point that what he was saying the same stuff in 2007 when the FBI admit that he was still working for them, as he made recently in 2009. And the lawyer is making out that, you know, well, this is normal. He said the same things in 07 as he did in 09, so there's no big case. Now, I mentioned this guy because it's going to be interesting to find out exactly how this big program, this little program, is running. How many of these guys are out there, and how much money is being shared between, you know, the advertisers on Jones, on Rentz, and wherever? Where did all this money go to? And it'd be interesting if we could get more information or pull up these the FBI and get them involved in this Hal Turner, that they're actually put on the dock and asked to answer questions. What do you think?
Well, why not? You know, but here's the interesting thing. I almost never, I've had a few in the last 5 years, Only a few people have ever asked to advertise on my site. I think maybe I could say two or three ever. Fact of the matter is, I wouldn't accept advertising. I've had people that I knew and trusted wanted to sell something, and I said, well, if you've got a book coming out, I'll promote your book because I've read it, and I won't do it unless I have read it, but if I've read it and I think it's cogent and you know, forwards the right discussion, I'll help you to get the book pushed over into the community. But I'm not, you know what, this has never been about money here, although I want to bring up again that, you know, 2 months ago I asked for money and the people came forward and helped me out, and I paid the bills I had at the present, and it actually got me through this month of August. But you know what, again, my donations have stopped to a dead stop right now. That I'm going to come into September and I don't have any money. This is an ongoing need for me because I've never had a cache of money in my hands. I don't get money from advertising. I don't do Google ads on my site. I don't do any of that stuff. Basically, I keep this thing alive and me alive on small generosities of people listening. Now, that's not the case with most of these people. That's certainly not the case with this sack of crap Mars. And you heard something that was very damning of him, that he had an organization worth millions.
Yeah, well, that's another audio, yeah. Must pass it on to you. It was one of our buddies posted, some guy, Black Pope, or I'm not going to give that guy any advertisement, tried to debunk him on radio, and that was one of the things that he cited, property values. But Darryl, I want to get back to this Turner guy. Now, the way they reported this, and I want to tie it into a story you posted on your website this week about this Australian-Jewish Cohen, who's... Flanky, I know what this skanky little rag that she, well, first of all, the Washington Post was reporting the case about Turner, but they didn't mention on the first page of two that Turner actually worked for the FBI. But they were saying this case could test the limits of political free speech on the internet. And then we have what you posted on your site there about this skank from Australia suing an anonymous Google blogger because he called her a skank, and that Google eventually, under duress from the justice system, produced the guy's IP address and email address. And this guy now, she's suing him, and this could put another end. It seems to be quite not mentioned. People not putting two and two together that there is absolutely no free speech, and our little radio shows that are going to come after us next, although AJ will be fine because he's kosher.
Well, that's a possibility, and somebody did point out, however, that the things that were being said about this person, because she really wasn't a public figure, that in fact she had a right to sue, because once you're a public figure, you are allowed to have certain accusations or even slanders made at you. But on the other hand, when you're not a public figure and someone goes out against your character and makes outlandish statements, like you're a skank or something, you know, that's actionable in a civil courtroom. Anybody's allowed to sue. Mm-hmm. However, that's not the problem I have with this. It's the precedence that it's set.
Absolutely.
And it's the ability of the justice system to use that case as precedent-setting law for the next case, which, of course, will be used against us. And that's exactly what you're talking about, I think, right now.
Yeah, it is, Darryl. Yeah, but at least I brought it up. I mean, I saw the photo. Seems like an attractive female, even at 40. That was like, apparently the guy, this anonymous blogger that wrote this, I mean, apparently only a couple of tens of people actually seen this post, and somehow, miraculously, she got wind of it, and all of a sudden it's a big potatoes for us. I mean, big potatoes for us on the internet, because, as you said, this will be used as a precedent in other cases, on other matters. We already have the other one with Hal Turner. Do anything that's written politically, if you call Obama a Nazi or more like a socialist Marxist that he is, that, you know, everybody will be sued, and it's the complete end of all free speech.
Well, you know, to call his what will have to happen here if they ramp up things a notch in that area is you'll have to make the statements about his policies being fascist or being Nazi-like. And, you know, because personal attack and innuendo, especially in places like Britain, have a history of successful lawsuits against people. And if that precedent begins to be set in the United States, it will throw an awful cold chill across free speech. And, you know, at the same time, they're forwarding the idea that hate speech is if I say that, you know, homosexuals are this or that. I mean, for me, you know, it's basically a filthy idea that, you know, anybody that could become in contact with someone else's personal excrement is a problem for me, and I find that to be a health issue. Now, if you want to say that that's hate speech, they might try to make that argument. The simple fact is, I couldn't go outside and play in my septic tank, so why would I want to go and play in someone's... do you understand what I'm saying? No, here's the problem. What if they try to equate that analogy to hate? You know?
Well, you know, Darren, that's how they got the hate laws passed in Canada. They added on all these over protecting the children, and then they slip in at the end of the bill about the hate speech, and they got Holocaust denial and different stuff like that thrown in at the end of the bill. The way they slip in, paper clip in extra bits into legislation. But it was all done. Everyone agreed. You know, we have to protect the children on the internet and in real life from predators and pedophiles and whatever.
But you know, there was a recent case here in France where a judge actually said, wait a minute now, there has to be a clear and present threat of harm or a show, some way to show that there is actual harm being done. And I mean, for me, pointing out that playing in someone else's feces is dangerous, I'm not threatening that person by saying that. I'm stating a fact.
Sarah, it's, if we look behind all these groups, there's always someone, a Zionist Jew. They're looking at this birther issue, all the fake document supposedly from Kenya. The movement has all of a sudden turned on its ear, and it's taken over by this caste Israeli Jewess, and she produced fake documents, and all of a sudden it's a complete non-issue. They buried another story. I mean, that was...
That's right. Is there any way we can take a two-second break here from our broadcast and resume in a moment?
And we're back, man. A small little technical glitch there, a noise in the background. Darrell, we were talking about the birther issue. Do you have any comments to make about that?
Well, yeah, what surprised me about this, I mean, you know, there was a huge hype about all this stuff going on. There were people paying all kinds of attention to it, and you know, there were disparate groups. The simple fact is, after that Israeli was caught shilling for her documentation, everyone stopped looking into it, and that means that no one has ever seen the original birth certificate. Nobody's ever seen it to this day. In other words, what everybody was demanding has never been seen still. Why is it that everyone has stopped looking? Now, I don't know whether there's truth in that or there isn't. It really doesn't matter to me in whether there's truth in it or not. What is factual about this, Noel, is this. What has happened is no one's looking into it, and we do know that Obama has spent millions trying to stop people from looking into it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's also rumored, darling. I mean, you can read it freely around on the internet that the Israeli right-wing Likudniks and whatever, they're the ones under their do-gooders in the States and in the media, specifically in the media, right-wing media, were the ones pushing this birther issue as a kind of, if we're talking about, if, you know, Obama wants to hassle us about the settlements, we're going to bring up the birther issue again, and it's more warning for Barack Hussein Sotero.
Well, at the same time, you know what? I don't know that they're not on the same page anyway, and that this is
good cop, bad cop, Darrell. It's just the world.
Yeah, that's right.
The world is still worried. I mean, we're still worried about the fate of 1.5 million Gazans, and it hasn't improved, Darrell, since they got depleted uranium tossed at them and white phosphorus at the end of December, early January.
Well, for Palestinians, now there's a new assault going on, Noel, that's happening in the East Jerusalem neighborhoods, wow, where they're bulldozing businesses and people's homes, and they're railroading people out of their properties. And you know what they've done is they've gone back in their records and looked for people who added a small addition, or they put up a fence, or they put up a small storage shed in their backyard. And what they're coming in and saying that you had no right to put up that extra little building, so now you're in violation of your property deed, and for that we're going to confiscate your land.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're using it as a pretext racism to confiscate.
Open racism. I mean, it's the only racist state we have on the planet, and they get away with it, and they're getting worse and worse.
Yes, they are.
And more daring there. I mean, these people don't care. They have full authorization in their Talmud. You know, they can steal from the Goyim. You know, they can take our organs. I mean, that's been well publicized. And they can always fall back in the Talmud. And I don't think they really care about Obama. And this is another thing that drives me nuts about Obama. Obama is a figurehead. He's no more. He's a nobody in the scheme of things. And yet you have Jones and the like, and they'll make the Obama deception. You know, Obama, 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 Obama. You know, anything could happen to Obama and they get rid of him.
It doesn't matter to them, because whoever would follow in his footsteps would be exactly the same group being represented.
How about Joe
Biden? We know that we know that both sides of this past election were controlled by Zionist Jews. We know that that McCain is part of the Zionist crime gang, and he's been getting paid off by the Brothman fortune from the beginning. We know that that Obama has had the Crown and Pritzker families supporting him out of Chicago, along with Rahm Emanuel, and even people that were closely associated with Golda Meir when she was living in that area. Simple fact is that, you know, he comes from powerful Jewish Zionist stock up in that region. His supporters do. You know, it doesn't matter. The Zionists are in every camp. They're in the right. They're in the left. They're in the atheist, they're in the religious, they're everywhere. They really have infiltrated every seat of power.
And Daryl, you know, these things I like to concentrate on now is probably the upcoming future. And we have to talk, I think we'll probably do the last 10 or 12 minutes on this, is this financial shenanigans that is still going on. Here I am, I'm on holidays, I'm reading about, here in France, I'm reading about more and more factories. There's a small company, 65 workers, and they deliver toxic and remove toxic chemicals, and they deliver them, and that's their transporters. And the company has just been wound down all of a sudden, but these guys are protesting, and they said that if they're not paid €15,000 each, they're going to dump this stuff into the local water system. Now, I'm reading, Darren, more and more, and I'm in one particular department in France, and all I hear is factory closing down. I don't see any green shoots, yet I see, you know, France has come out of recession, so has Germany, so has Japan, China are doing well. One in every 10 homes, 10%, Daryl, of US homes are now in delinquency. 10%.
Yep.
The cash for clunkers is coming to an end. They've given $3 billion away. What do Americans do? They buy the car they bought most of is a Japanese Toyota, which I own one myself,
that's right.
A little Toyota. And they won't buy, this government motors, even with the $3 billion, they still didn't sell any cars. I mean, there's no production in America. All of it has been outsourced. Gold just darted up there. I just had a quick look there. The dollar just went down a half a point, 42 pips down on the basket of currency. Gold went up 15 bucks. You know, I follow the gold markets. I occasionally read Jim Sinclair, and sometimes he's off and sometimes he's not. But I don't see there's any way. We came into a credit crisis with too much credit. We've invented, the U.S. has now gone up at anywhere up to $29 trillion extra that doesn't exist, besides counting on the tens of trillions from Medicare and different programs that will be, you know, long-term programs, plus all the billions and that they gave to the banks that never that they've kept it. And then we get into these very little mention now is these derivatives. Now, some of these derivative contracts aren't just going to end this week or next month or next year. Some of these are going down, like, for example, with the Dutch and Germans are derivatives that will run up for up to 30 or 40 years. But the overall price is up to, I mean, being reported by the Bank of International Settlements, you know, they're a conspiracy website. They're quoting numbers of between 1.2 and 1.5 quadrillion dollars in these very lucrative contracts that these banks now are I mean, and then you're reading about, you know, a couple of months ago, the banks were under getting a bad rap because of all the money that they got free and that they gave it to their employees in payouts. And now they're all advertising, they're all hiring traders and giving them more salary and whatever. I mean, why aren't the people in the streets and said, no, enough of this? What is going on?
Well, people are not in the streets because they're hunkering down at this point. They don't see that the present system is going to survive. So rather than even get involved in popping up above the radar, they're trying to sit back and consolidate what they've got in their families or whatever. Interesting that you brought up the CDS, the credit default swaps, and the CDOs, the credit default obligations. What these swaps and obligations are still sitting there as toxic assets on the books, and they're still being evaluated as having a certain monetary value and they're on the books on these banks. So no bank with any brains is going to do business with another bank when they've got a bunch of credit default swaps sitting on their books. So there's never going to be interbank lending. There's never going to be any new loans being made because nobody knows what anybody's real position is. And because the system has unwound to the point where it has, there is no turning back. I only see them continuing to pump money into the system, trying to keep liquidity at a minimum until they're ready to pull the plug altogether and declare a bank holiday. And that can be any day now. It could be this weekend. That might be why gold's jumping. Who knows? I certainly know September, October is an absolute for these events. Something big is going to come up on the horizon. The dollar is going to hit a 30% wall and drop like a stone. And then all of a sudden, people whoever's got dollar denominated assets is going to be running for the exits. They already have. If you had a brain, you would have got out of dollar denominated assets a long time ago. But you know, at the same time, I don't see there's a solution. So. There's nothing that, in my years of knowledge about how the markets and money works, there's no out for this. And this is why I'm telling you, anything to say about a green shoot is just bollocks, it's just nonsense, it's just a lie, because there is no solution for the position we have found ourselves in, short of reinventing the money system.
Well, Darrell, that's exactly it. I mean, if we go back to the very origins of the central bank, 1913, or go back before that, of people should look into it if they're unaware of the term fractional reserve banking. That is what fractional reserve banking is. We all in debt, and we can never pay back the debt, even if we wanted to. Now, it's interesting, Darrell, that Iceland have given them the finger up and said, screw that, we're not giving you any money. Criminal British and Dutch banks, Zionists, not mentioned in the article, but that's who they're talking about, that broke the back of Iceland. And at least the Icelanders are now standing up and said, listen, those bank owes the money, we don't, and we're not going to do it. Now, we have the same case in Ireland, Latvia, and half of these other countries are that they won't mention, that are, you know, teetering on bankruptcy as a country. And it's interesting to see how the banking system is trying to nourish them along. We also have this huge credit problem in the Eastern Bloc countries, which is a serious knock-on effect for places like Austria and Germany. I mean, plus you have all the banks in the States going, the Guarantee Bank that went under last week, that lost $13 billion that this bankrupt FDIC is supposed to be looking into. But, I mean, that's more nonsense.
Well, what Iceland has been proposing is a jubilee, is a forgiveness of a personal debt to the banks, and saying, look, we are... We are, as a nation, declaring a Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and we're being protected from our creditors. And that means that the British banks and the Dutch banks and the rest of the banks that they're talking about are crap out of luck. And that's the way it should be. The debt should have been forgiven everywhere. But see, if Iceland is successful at saying we're not going to pay that debt, there's going to be a lot of other nations in the very, very near future wanting the same solution. And so the Zionist bankers do not want that to become a reality. If, in fact, it does become a reality, of course, Ireland's going to look at it for a solution. So is Portugal, and so is Lithuania, and so is Estonia, and so is Poland and Hungary. I mean, we've got countries in the Eastern Bloc who have borrowed billions and billions that they can't afford to pay back, and they're going to want to take that write-off option as well. So these people are very, very scared about the banks in Iceland saying, you know, go pound sand in your ear. And if it happens and it comes to pass, it's going to be a huge blow to these crooks. No doubt about it.
Well, you know, maybe, Darrell, this race baiting that you were mentioning at the beginning of the show, this is that have different ideas for different parts of the world to keep our minds off the actual financial situation. Just there isn't talk now of the system melting down as there was a few months ago. I'm reading it as it is. But there's a lot of countries there about to go under, Darrell. It wouldn't take, you know, the stock market since the Dow Jones, since the 9th of March of this year, has just got, it's a straight line up on quantitative easing. It's it's a pity the next time I'll be home this weekend. I remember we have the three-way again with Mohammed Rafiq, and one of the, you know, this high frequency trading, and one of the thing that worries me the most was with all these computer trading in and out, there's no liquidity in the market. Apparently 73% of all the trades are computer generated. There's no liquidity there, and that if anyone ever went in seriously to pull some money out of the stock market, we could have, a very severe crash.
Crash is assured. It's just the date that we don't know. And whether or not this is this most recent exiting, which is happening right now on the dollar. I mean, I'm watching the dollar right now. It went from 78.60 all the way down to 77.90, I mean 93, 97. Well, my point is that there are people trying to get out of the market, and a lot of it has to do with the crooks trying to back out with some assets that they've stolen or that they've coveted without losing their value. And one of the problems for them is that they don't want to create a panic, because if a panic ensues on the dollar exiting, then whatever they are able to recover will only be a fraction of what they could have recovered. So they're trying to sell to the world that everybody should be paying attention to the green shoots and don't look over here. Over here is a nonsense. It's that 10% in the rears, 10% of the people are not paying their mortgage and so forth. They don't want you to pay attention to the fact that, you know, tens of thousands of people a day are losing their jobs. What they want you to look at is what they're saying in the headlines. But just under the surface of those headlines, if you look on Bloomberg, you look on some of the other sites that have told some truth, you're going to find out that the whole shooting match is coming unglued. And they're just trying to hive off every asset they can get before the judgment day here. And judgment day for the American economy is only weeks away. That's it. And the world's economy, no. Because look, if the dollar, the world's reserve currency, and 25% of the GDP of the earth goes into a complete tailspin, there is absolutely no way any country in the world will not be severely affected by that event. There's nobody will prosper from that event. Nobody.
Except the criminal elite group, and they're not German debt cults. Well, that was another thing. I listened to an audio from our buddy Piper on the 19th, and he had words to say about Asia. I never forgot to mention it there. And the one clear thing that I got from it was, AJ, stop talking about Nazism as if you knew what you were talking about. You sound like mainstream media. I'd nearly forgotten that. It was a good little audio from Piper, another little warning for Bullhorn. Darrell, we have I think we have different dates. You want to hear 9/9/9 is coming up and whatever. This green shoots, and we're all recovered, is making, giving me the willies here, because this is not, if you can go, if you, I've been, you know, I follow the stock market. I usually just use the yahoofinance.yahoo.com or .fr, whichever one you want to use, and you'll see that the Dow is up, you know, 1.5%, and then you read the headlines and they're all bad news. GM sales down, more unemployment, 4 more banks collapse, and people are seeing this, you know, improving economy. I mean, mainstream media, I mean, they pick out one good headline out of 100, and I don't know, Darryl, the people I'm talking to, whether it's in France and Switzerland, in Ireland and the UK, they are seeing that what's been reported in the mainstream is that they're liars, and that they just can't be trusted, and that leaves a blank.
Well, it's going to further erode the propaganda value of their declarations, because people are starting to really catch on to the fact that what they've been saying all along and what they are presently saying does not match up with reality, and as a result of that, people are going to start questioning everything they say, and there is a serious deficit right now in trust for these crooks. And I can tell you what they're seeing on the horizon is what we may not be seeing in our statistics yet. But the fact is, Muhammad has pointed out this fact for some time now. They have a very sophisticated and analytic tools to look at the direction of people's discussions and people's thinking and people's actions. And they probably are seeing the handwriting on the wall and getting worried. And that handwriting is that they're being outed. They're being shown for what they are. And if they don't get their actions, implosion ready and underway, they run the risk of losing it all. Now, that has been my hope from the beginning. Then again, you know, are we ready to take these people on at our present strength?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. See, because the fact is, if we fail to win this in the first instance, we're dead. And if we fail later, we're still going to be in big mess. We have to act now to expand this message as far and as wide as possible. And it has to go into people who are hungry for the truth. And that's why I harp on this guy Jones constantly. You know, I'm preaching to the choir with the TIU and French Connection listeners, because they know this story already, and they're probably getting sick of hearing the same old song and dance here. I'm trying to get people to take these same informations and put them into the earshot of new people, and so that they can start making the connections. And that can be your job. You know, once you become an informed individual from all this information, you can become an opinion shaper in the world. But that would require you to go and find new candidates for this information. You just can't be conversing amongst yourselves about this stuff. You've got to find new people that are ready and willing to absorb these facts.
Yeah, well, I read an encouraging thing on a forum this morning. I forget where it was, but an AJ fan actually read the Alex Jones machine, which gives a completely different opinion of Jones and on his money schemes. And the guy, or it could be a female, said, "Well, that's me finished with Jones. I knew there was something wrong, and I needed something." So there are a lot of people, Darryl, that are going to look away from mainstream into this alternative mainstream, Jones and Co. And we don't want people waking up and then being, you know, deceived by German debt cults and Nazis, and, you know, Nazis and voodoo are running America. I mean, and the complete nonsense. You know, there's a critical point here that people that have been AJ fans, myself included, 5 or 6 years ago, I remember people saying to me, my family, "Oh, geez, I don't like that guy. Oh, he's a fear monger, and you couldn't see the grass for the trees." You're just I was more involved in the actual information. The King of Spain owns the highways and this and that and the other. And that's what has continued going and he's continued doing, that we don't need people waking up. You know, all of a sudden, I think a lot of people got a kick in the ass last year with the financial, and they started to look into what's going wrong with the banks, how do the banks work, and there's no point in falling onto Jones's side. I mean, that's a complete waste of time. He's not going to tell you anything about Zionism, or he mentioned the international bankers. Why he doesn't go all the way, that's where he's shilling.
Well, it's more than just shilling, because he actually, when confronted with the Zionist fact, he actually calls people anti-Semitic or that they're liars
he said that FBI agents.
Imagine.
You're a Fed.
We asked this before, Evan. No. What is the FBI doing? Outsourcing here to Central France and now what?
Well,
maybe
it's cheaper, but I mean, that's as I said to you, Daryl, on a recent show, from what I've heard from Jones and the other gobshite Burmese, which was a very clear incident. Now, looking back, as we were on the ball in March and April, as a lot of people were, Daryl. He was reading too close to what he was to do. And wasn't officially supposed to say, but that's what they were supposed to do. And he came out openly and described us all as Jew haters and Jew baiters, instead of being people that are investigating criminals, criminal bankers, politicians, etc. And he tried to blanket us all with this: "You're all Jew haters." And that showed his true colours. A lot of people woke up since, and I see your numbers are your daily numbers have doubled or tripled since around that time. Not because just of that incident, your site is quite active. People are hungry. People are well aware of Jones, but we need more people saying, "Listen, why are you listening to this nonsense?" And move on. And here's a few other sites. I am the witness for IamTheWitness.com, for example. Start reading some of the books.
Well, the books are where the real treasures are held here, where the real connection. See, once you've been able to suss out the past and follow it seamlessly to the present, you've found the full story. Now, there are details to fill in, and we're trying to do that daily. But the full story is in those books. And, one of them fits exactly a hand in glove with the others. And many of them come from different perspectives and come to the same conclusion. So this is where it becomes damning in the extreme. And so, if you end up in front of somebody denying these facts, you can start spouting the information you found, or you can put them right up the book itself. It's all there for people.
Yeah, well, Daryl, I think we call this, we've done probably about an hour there, so I think we call this a show. Look forward to getting back from holidays. And I haven't done a lot of research in the last 10 days, I've been taking time off, although there's a couple of things that I read that annoyed me or I enjoyed. I would recommend people coming to our forums, the Info Underground, in the news section, a post by Brandon Dean, his part two of his critique on the fractures in the truth movement. And he gives you an A to Z on Zionism, and I think people could use that as a. I think, Daryl, we'll have to link to that article on his site. It's a pretty decent one. I presume you'd be able to fill in a few bits and pieces around it.
I do. And if you see it again before I do, send me over the link if you would.
Will do, Daryl. Yeah, listen, Daryl. Nice to have you on again. We'll talk to you.
Thanks, my friend. I enjoyed it very much. It's always a great pleasure to talk to somebody who's been doing a lot of research on their own.
Okay, Daryl. Talk to you very soon. And that is the end of the interview with Daryl. Knowing Daryl as I do, he sounded very tired at the end there. He's one of these people who gets up in the middle of the night and researches in the middle of the night. So, and he usually is nap time for him. So I kind of caught him today before his nap. But I did realize he was sounding tired at the end. So I called it at a show. Get back next week. Need to do a bit of travelling for work, so I'll probably be late towards next week before I can get some shows. And I want to start back in on this Lisbon Treaty in Ireland. Getting disturbing information that the control media are saying it's a slam dunk. Yes, is going to pass like they did with the Nice Treaty, which would be a big shame. So we can try to get back in on that. I found a few more sites and some more spokesmen representing the no vote, and we're still hoping to get the famous rocker to come on. He's been sending me odd emails saying we're going to do it. I just haven't got a date yet, but I'm sure that'll happen prior to the October 2nd vote. Just the odds are out, theinfounderground.com.